Here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 19th of March, 2007. It's the birthday of one of the most misunderstood politicians in American history, William Jennings Bryan. Salem, Illinois, 1860. Ran three times as Democratic candidate for president, lost all three times. William Jennings Bryan, famous to us today mostly for the Scopes Monkey Trial, 1925, in which he argued against teaching evolution. He did it in part because he was afraid of social Darwinism. He believed the theory of evolution was feeding the eugenics movement. More important, his political career, he was a Democrat because he was concerned about poor rural farmers in Nebraska and elsewhere, who he felt were the victims of gold speculators on the East Coast. He was one of the early supporters of women's suffrage, corporate income taxes, labor rights, the eight-hour workday, antitrust laws, and the direct election of U.S. senators. It's the birthday of novelist Philip Roth, born Newark, 1933, grew up in a crowded neighborhood, lay in bed at night listening. He said, in warm weather, people sat on the stoops and on beach chairs in the driveways. You'd be sweating, trying to sleep, and you'd hear them. You'd hear their conversation all the time, and it would be very comforting. He said, Newark was the battleground between the European family of immigrants who clung to the rigorous orthodoxy and the American children, who wanted to be rid of all that because they sensed immediately that it was useless in this society. Went to the University of Chicago to study English literature. There he began to write his first short stories, collected in Goodbye Columbus, which made a big stir when it came out in 1959. And then 10 years later, his big bestseller, Portnoy's Complaint, and many more novels after that. Philip Roth, who said, I cannot and do not live in the world of discretion, not as a writer anyway. I would prefer to. It would make life easier. But discretion is unfortunately not for novelists. Here's a poem for today by Robert Fanning, entitled Crooked Wisdom. Having learned last night of his wife's affair, my dentist holds a giant silver spear and leans over the canyon of my open jaw. Diving in again, vulture sure, he picks at my gum's weak pink flesh, between cliffs, down in the bone and coral landscape of my teeth. Nerve tips burst and bloom like crimson flowers on a hill. Soon, blood's smeared red signature runs from a deep root and floods my tongue. Half under with gas and lovely numb, I watch his left eye become a clouded moon, then one black branch of an eyelash catch a teardrop's sheer balloon. With quick shame, like a lion tamer, stricken with naked fear, he leaves the work of the open mouth and the raw wound to another. He lays the mirror down beside the spear and exits the room. Anesthesia doesn't dim his grief. A room away, I hear the hygienist say, she's leaving you for him. You've seen this coming for a year. A bit later he returns, composed in his white smock, and clips the x-rays of my teeth to the board. Then he lifts his pointer to the slideshow of my bite, backlit, exposed. The skull's little ornaments hang. Bicuspids and molars glow with hunger and decay. See here, he points. Here's the abscess. Here's the cavity. And here's that crooked wisdom pushing through. A poem by Robert Fanning, Crooked Wisdom, from his collection The Seed Thieves, published by Marek Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Gift subscriptions are available at poetrymagazine.org. Produced by Robert McGinley Myers. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.